Hey, Giant fans. Welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer in the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz, Chris Bisignano. And with us this week, folks, such big news. There was an earthquake felt from Jersey all the way to Boston, baby. Dave, the great Dave Syverson returns. Dave Syverson has been contributing to the Giant Insider for a number of years. Those of you on Big Blue Interactive know him. And now, finally, he's on YouTube much more. Thank God, you know, giving his knowledge to the football world. Dave, what's up, buddy?
Fellas, it's great to be back with you guys. Always love talking ball with you. Always love talking Giants. You guys do your work, and it's always fun to talk to guys that do the work and not just ask the questions. It's good to have some back and forth conversation and even some disagreements, like tight end Michael Meyer from Notre Dame last year.
Well, it's early in the game still, Dave. I'm not going to give it to you yet. All right. You were right with LaPorta. Okay. All right.
I like that he remembered that, though. That's awesome.
Yeah, because he likes to stick it to me. I know what he's doing. I text Dave a lot. You know, Dave, what do you think about this guy? What do you think about this guy? You know, and it's good stuff because Dave, most of our followers know, if not all, we have mucho respeto for Dave and his work, you know. So, but yeah, Dave, this day started off for me sitting in my chair reading the paper, and all of a sudden my house was shaking for like 15 seconds. I had never been through anything like that, Dave. I don't know how much you felt where you are, but I was like, holy crap, I couldn't believe what was going on. Me and Jerry just called me a little while ago, goes, dude, you just feel that? We just got an aftershock over at me. Wild day, brother, needless to say.
I'm glad we did not lose power because then we wouldn't be talking right now. So,
you know. Yeah, good point.
I know. Keep us on our toes.
So, Dave, man, you dive into all these kids. You know all these kids in and out. Obviously, with the Giants, well, let's get into it. You know, the quarterbacks. I don't think there's any question the Giants are interested in the quarterback, right? I think we all could agree on that. Let's get into it. Who do you like? Do you believe Daniels goes at number two to Washington for sure? And then after that, then you got to have people with different opinions. What New England does, if Minnesota tries to move up, do the Giants try to move up to four to make sure they don't get jumped? Or if they stay at six, will they take a guy? So, Dave, are you in agreement that obviously Caleb is one? Are you in agreement that Jaden's going to Washington?
Yes, I am, because of who is going to be engineering that offense. Right. And Cliff Kingsbury – right. Finagled his way to Kyler Murray in Arizona the year after they draft Josh Rosen. And if you look at skill set, not just the athleticism, although I do think Kingsbury values that more than the traditional play caller. I mean, everyone values the athletic ability and escapability and off-platform plays in today's NFL, but Kingsbury really leans into it. But it's also the release, how quick he can get the ball out, how quickly he can see things. And it's basically between Jaden and Drake. And Drake May probably has more pure arm talent. He's got the size. I think he's the best pocket passer. But Jaden brings up a little bit more options to the table that Kingsbury likes to work with. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think he kind of left the job in Las Vegas and went to Washington, because he probably got some sort of confirmation that they would go after Jaden at number two.
Yeah, look, there's two kids the Giants have been in touch with three times. Yep. That's J.J. McCarthy and Drake May. So obviously that tells you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that they're looking at these kids hard. Okay. I think everybody after Washington, Dave, is like, Jaden is off the board. He's going to war. I think that's the assumption with New England, you know, Minnesota trying to move the Giants, you know, the vague, that he's going to be off the board. Okay. Yeah. I'm pretty sure New England's sitting at three going. Now it all comes down to what, Dave? How these teams grade out the rest of these kids, okay? So, the Giants, do they have to move up, Dave? If they stay at six, do you feel after Jaden Daniels that Drake May or a J.J. McCarthy is their guy? Yes or no?
It's going to be a wild, wild night. And I'm actually – just as a fan of the draft and a fan of the league, it's going to be a dramatic night. You know, don't you hate those drafts where you kind of know it's going to happen to five picks, you know?
Yep.
I think there are so many options on the table, and I think the league doesn't know. I do think Giants have deals in place with teams ahead of them if those teams want to dance draft night. But even then, I don't think New England's going to want to show their cards. I don't think Arizona wants to show their cards. So I think maybe some soft deals are set in place, but things can change late in any sort of trading market. You know, guys can come in with an over the top offer, you know, like, you know, you try to bid on a house these days, you always get asked by your realtor, you know, what's your best and final, you know, we have the initial offers, but what's your best and final? And I think those are going to come streaming in down the door, down the river that final night. So New England, I think, needs to be discussed first. That roster is bad. It is bad. Bill Belichick, I mean, I think that's part of the reason why that documentary came out. And it was blasting him a little bit. I thought that was a little unfair, but, you know, that's a topic for another time. But part of the reason is, since Brady left, that it just got worse every single year. So you ask me, yeah, do you want to start the rebuild, new regime with a new quarterback? Probably, but equally important is getting a lot of draft assets. And if you have a bidding war for that number three spot and you're not absolutely in love with the quarterback, I do think number three is for sale. And it's going to come down to what, like, you know, the Giants, if you want to control your destiny at quarterback, you make the aggressive deal no matter what. If Minnesota comes in with an attractive 11, 23 and a 2025 first, guess what, Giants? You're going to have to come up with number six overall, your next year's one, and probably either next year's two or this year's two. And it sounds rich, but for the quarterback, if you have a guy that you really do think stands out among J.J. McCarthy and Drake May, you got to do it. Now, the more interesting topic is, hey, why don't you just let something else happen at three?
Yes. Yeah.
Whoever's available at four, the price might be a little cheaper, but still, you're going to get into a bidding war if Minnesota wants to come up. And I do think Minnesota wants a quarterback bad. This is year three of a regime. They're not going to wait till next year to get the quarterback. They are getting a quarterback this year. So you're competing with a team that can sell two first-round picks to a team at three, four, or five. So how do you beat that offer? That's going to be a really interesting thing to follow. So, you know, the Giants, if they have kind of like what I have on my board with my grades, kind of 2A, 2B between Drake May and J.J. McCarthy, different players, but equally graded, you can wait till one of them comes off the board. That's probably the safer play. But now you're playing with fire, because what if New England does take one of those guys and Minnesota comes in with an offer that you cannot match? So if the Giants have strong conviction that they need one of these guys, the bold move would be to get up three somehow and let New England deal with their roster rebuild over the couple of years, because they are years away. I actually think they're further away than the Giants. So I don't think they have to get the quarterback this year.
I'm sorry, Joe.
No, yeah, I agree with that, Dave. I think their roster's so depleted that it's almost like, I don't know if they're going to go quarterback. And again, it's all speculation, but I see that one as being up for grabs. And what's also interesting is, will a team trade with them so that then the Giants can trade with Arizona, right? Because that's going to be obviously a lot less to move up. It's going to be significant. It's two spots, and other teams will try to move up. But that's why that sixth pick is so valuable. You know, if it's traded to Arizona, then maybe Arizona could still get the guy they want it for. Right. Maybe they can still get Marvin Harrison. Right.
You know what I can hear right now is all those fans that are just killing the Giants for winning games at the end of the year. You know.
Yeah. Like, but you know what? Andrew Thomas. That's my answer to that. Right. Andrew, we got Andrew Thomas instead of Chase Young. So I'd rather have that. So look, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. That's why you play to win and all that. But it's interesting to hear that. And I think you're right, Dave. I think it's going to be a fun night, because it's just the speculation's all over. I think the Giants is very clear. It's either they trade up for the quarterback or they take their best number one wide receiver at six.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, there's an equal amount of urgency between Minnesota and New York, right? They're the head coach and front office. They're in year three. If this is year one, you don't feel as much pressure to get something done, but we see this all the time in the trade market. I track every trade draft weekend. And, you know, I know there's draft pick value charts out there that people like to use. I mean, the cost is what someone is willing to pay, period. People overpay all the time, especially for quarterbacks, right? I mean, last year, an example, when the Texans moved back up for Will Anderson, like, that was a massive, massive overpay, but it worked out, you know, and now they're sitting pretty. So if you have strong conviction, you make the move. If not, you sit tight at six. And if your consolation prize is a true, bona fide, credible beast of a number one wide receiver, and you still have your future one, you still have your second rounder to build the nucleus of a roster that still needs a lot of help, you can't be upset by it. So that's how I stand. I know it probably sounds like a little bit of a cop-out, but the Giants are going to walk away from the first round with a new franchise quarterback or a real, and I'm talking real, number one wide receiver.
Yeah, I don't think it's a cop-out at all. I think that's what that's probably what they're thinking. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get into the receivers in a little bit, but Dave, I'm with you on that. I've been talking about this for weeks, saying that I look at these three kids and receivers. I don't think there's a – I hate to say it, but the closest thing to a can't miss there is in a while. Anyway, we'll get into that in a little bit. Dave, here's my question to you, bud. Do you think these quarterbacks, after Jaden at two – and I got to say something about Jaden Daniels, okay, Dave? This is the way – this time of year, what I like to do, okay? Pro days don't mean shit to me, bro. Okay? The combine don't mean shit to me. You know, throwing 50 yards and a dime and all that crap. So what I like to do is I like to see a kid like Jaden Daniels against a top defense, okay? Or a very good defense with a very good coordinator going against guys with very good defensive minds. And obviously, we've seen that with Jaden against Nick Saban in Alabama. Yeah. So I put on the all 22 for some reason. Now it's working again. I got it back. I didn't have it for a year. I don't know what the hell happened there. But anyway, and I'm watching him against Nick, you know, Dave, and I couldn't help. Was it perfect, Dave? No, but you can't help but come away impressed because Nick was throwing so many different things at him, especially with that robber safety. So many times he tried to disguise that robber safety on him and the safety would drop down to that rob roll or he'll kick out to that cover two, that shell. And he was throwing, and then he rolled into that cover three. I tell you what, brother, Jaden Daniels, really, this is why I put on Twitter last week, Dave, that I like him just as much as Caleb Williams. And I know people went nuts with that. Oh, yeah, you know. I think you're with me on this, though, Dave, with Jaden in a way with Caleb, because I looked at that game. I studied that game, what Nick Saban was doing against him. And I saw a couple of things, right? I saw him reading defenses pretty good, okay? His receivers not giving him a lot of help in a lot of situations and that running sloppy routes or even not even picking up their blitz. They were running their regular freaking go or regular dig, not even helping him on some blitzes. And yes, folks, and I'm talking about Neighbors and I'm talking about the other kid, okay? He was just so impressive. So that's why I put him up there with Caleb. I got to be honest with you, Dave. I put him up there with Caleb just as good. So that's why I feel Washington is no way, dude. They're passing up him. But let's get to the other kids. Do you feel the Drake Mays, the JJs, or even the Michael Penix now starting to get in that combo about, do you feel they're good enough, Dave, that you should move up to that three hole or that four hole? Are they that talented, Dave?
And Dave, we got people from Liverpool chiming in. So there you go.
What's up?
Your audience, pal.
That's awesome, man. Thanks for tuning in, guys. I appreciate that a lot. Really do. So the question is, are one of those two
body worth it, Dave? Are these kids that good that you should move up to three or four?
The question is, it's always going to come down to what's the cost, right? If the Giants have to sell a third round pick for one of these guys, I do it in a heartbeat. If they're going to ask for a first and a second, even a future second, I mean, if you guys look into future drafts, whatever you give up in the future is what would be worth a round later this year. So example, next year's two is usually worth this year's three, right? And I still, with that, that's where I start to hesitate a little bit, is would I want to give up a second round pick next year, which, let's be real, that might be a top 40 pick next year. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I agree.
That's a spot. I love picks. That's my favorite spot of the draft is early second round, because there's just guys that fall every year. There's a tremendous amount of starters, especially on the offensive line, that you could always find at the top of the second round. And I just don't want to give that up to get a quarterback. I would rather roll the dice and see if one of them falls into my lap at six. And again, consolation prize going for number one. So that's how I personally feel, that giving up anything more than a first and a third round pick for the quarterback is probably going to be too rich for me. So that's why moving up to three, probably not going to happen in terms of what I would want to do or what I would do. Once you start getting up into four or even at five, right? I know it sounds silly to trade up for a spot, but that would come in a situation where someone is trying to come in and leapfrog you, right? Which happened with the Giants a few years ago when the Eagles went up and got Devontae Smith, right? Mm-hmm. Like sometimes you just got to get like, hey, I'll give you my third round pick to move up one spot so I get my quarterback. Yeah, I mean, I would do that. But the second rounder, guys, to me is in this draft especially, is just as valuable as a late first round pick. And that's a hard sell for me. On a quarterback that I do think is good, I think J.J. McCarthy and Drake May are upgrades over what the Giants have at quarterback, and you're restarting the quarterback spending market somewhat. I think we can get into that at some point as well. You know, that's a big part of roster building right now, is you have to get that rookie and that quarterback on that rookie contract, so that it's more value than just the quarterback being a better football player. So that's my answers. I'd be willing to give a first and a third for Drake May or JJ McCarthy. But anything more than that, I would probably sit tight and just take my number one receiver. And I hate to say it, but punt on quarterback till later in the draft or next year.
See, I think that second round pick this year is really important, because if you're taking your quarterback in round one, you've got to get a receiver in round two. Unless Joe Alt somehow falls to round two, which will never happen. I'm just saying you have to get your number one receiver with a deeper receiver class. But Dave, I was going to ask you this question. It may come off as a dumb question, but I keep going back and forth with this. And the reason I ask is a couple of weeks ago, Chris said, would you trade the six to move down to 11 and 23? And I said at the time, yes, because I still think you might be able to get one of those receivers at 11, whatever. But my question to you is, if you're the Patriots or you're Arizona, what's more valuable to you, the 11 and 23 or the six?
Six. So it'd be six plus a third, right? Or six plus a pick next year, right?
Okay.
In this draft, I think 11 and 23. Because New England, to me, they need, similar to what the Giants need, they need a tackle, and there will be one at 11, a very good one at 11. And there will be one, and there'll be a good receiver at 23. And again, you're punting on quarterback till next year. You know, also what comes into play is how much do these teams like Michael Penix and Bo Nix, because that's around where I think these guys are going to go, top 15, at least one of them. I don't know if both of them will go. And the Penix is going to be more about the medicals than the actual physical ability and upside and intangibles. He checks the boxes there, but it's going to be the medicals for some teams. So, you know, that's part of the equation too. Do these guys want to roll the dice, trading back, still get their franchise quarterback and pick up that extra first round pick to kind of supplement the roster? So, I mean, that's part of the Giants question too. Do they like one of those guys enough? You know, I mean, there's part of me that says, I think this Giants staff might like Michael Penix just because of the arm talent, underrated ability, athletic ability. He just scares me, Penix, me personally, but
why? Because of the injuries?
The injuries, you know, and I know everyone's going to say he played 2 years, hasn't missed a game, blah, blah, blah. He's barely been touched in 2 years. Like literally him and Bo Nix have, you know, defenders barely have been breathing on them, you know, over the past couple of years. Like, how is he going to respond to getting pummeled in the NFL? Because you know that's going to happen.
In the national championship game, did that scare you too? I'm just curious.
A little bit, you know. I mean, Penix to me, you know, you guys golf? did you try to play golf? Chris
does a lot.
Avidly.
Chris does
a lot.
Avidly. All right, so Chris.
I don't.
I'm sure you've played with this kind of golfer before, right? The guy that shows up to the tee box. He's got this brand new... Yeah. Nice new
hitting off the blues, hitting from the blues.
He always wants to play from the tips because he can just launch the ball no matter what. And everyone, when you're watching him from the clubhouse, you're saying, wow, that guy must be really good. Did you see that 320 yard drive right in the middle of the fairway? And then, you know, he disappears off into the distance and you don't watch him play the rest of the round. You don't watch the short game out of the sand, the putting. You don't know if he's got all the clubs, right? Yeah. That's how I feel about Penix. You know, he can throw the ball downfield, and it's not just a good arm. He's accurate. He can drop the ball in a bucket. I think that was a big part of Romo Odunze's success was Penix's ball placement, but they also just did it twice as much as anyone else. So that's part of the why that he had so much production. And he did make a few plays against Texas in the playoff game where he had to move his feet and change his arm angle and put the ball over the middle. But you just don't know what if he can do it, because he didn't have to. He didn't have to, you know, hit guys on crossing routes. He didn't have to be accurate and layer the ball between linebackers and safeties. And that's a big part of playing quarterback at the next level. So to me personally, I wouldn't want to put my eggs in that basket. I do think you can find a Michael Penix caliber quarterback essentially any year, right? I thought the way I feel about Penix right now is how I felt about Hendon Hooker last year. You know, it's just going to kind of be a similar ability, similar skill set, similar upside. You know, he might be your really good backup or an average starter, but it's tough. It's tough to project that guy to the next level. So, you know, to circle back to this Giants 6, 11, Patriots conversation, you know, trading back to that, you're either punting on quarterback or taking, you know, the second tier of quarterbacks. Sorry, someone from the second tier of quarterbacks in a draft that has four first-tier guys. You know,
the reason I asked was if the Giants are trying to trade up and the Vikings are the Patriots or Arizona more likely to take which one? That's why I was asking.
Like,
right. Mm-hmm. Guys, we're going to take a break. We're 20 minutes in already. Dave, we enjoy this so much, man. It's unbelievable. I hope everyone else, we got 318 people watching, everyone joining. Looks like from Australia now. My God, Liverpool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
All right, guys, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to the Giant Insider Podcast. Hang on 1 second. And we're back, folks. Listen to the Giant Insider Podcast with Jerry Foley and Chris. Nobody gets the biz, Bizignano, and our special guest, our lads, Dave Syvertson. Go ahead, Chris.
So Dave, you know, just we'll start to wrap up the quarterback. Who do you have graded out after Danielson? Who do you have 3, 4, and 5? And I can tell you this before you even grade them out: the Giants are really getting very warm with Penix. They're liking him more.
Okay.
I'm not saying they're going to draft. I'm just telling you, he's impressed them. From what I heard, he's impressed them more and more. So. Okay. Who do you have graded out, Dave, after Daniels?
I'm J.J. McCarthy, quarterback 3 in this class. And I'll tell you what I like about it is two things. I was asked in December, where would he be in this draft if he came out? And I said, dude, that guy's going to go back to school. Not because I don't think he's ready, but because he would be the unquestioned QB1 in next year's draft. I don't think he'd be close. But the Harbaugh situation, him leaving school, the turmoil around the program, I get. The national championship, I get why he came out. And I said, day two, you know, he just looked like a day two guy when you watch him from a broadcast tape, not really studying him. And then in January, when he declared, I made it my mission for a good 2-3 weeks. I watched every single game from 2023, every single game from 2022, like every single one. And I would say every 2 or 3 games, he just went up a level to me, up a level.
I agree.
And I think that's. Mm-hmm. That's what you need to do. Not everyone has the time to do it, and I'm not going to bash anyone that thinks Drake May is above J.J. McCarthy, but to me, McCarthy is just as talented as Drake May, but he's much more consistent. Mm-hmm. I think he's a much better, much more likely leader of men at the next level, and I know we don't like to talk about that too much, but I do think
you have to.
In my opinion, that matters a lot, and I'm just going to – I'll die on that hill. And he's 21 years old. He's, you know, the body type to me is not as concerning. He weighed in at just under 220 at the combine, and people said it was fluffed up. I got contact from Michigan. He played over 210 the entire year, and he's 21. You got to think, like, so the weight just added up. Much better athlete. And here are the things that I love the most about his game. He's the best third down passer. He's the best red zone passer. He's the best passer under pressure. Like 1, 2, 3 out of all these guys in the class. You know, I evaluate these guys. I have like a numerical system on a spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. So I'm not just like, oh, on Tuesday, like McCarthy, on Wednesday, like May. It's like my grades are as objective as I can make them in a subjective process. And McCarthy just grades out at the top of all those categories. Is he the athlete of Jaden Daniels? No. Is he the innovator of Caleb Williams? No. Does he have the ceilings of those two? Absolutely not. But I think J.J. McCarthy, 27-1 at Michigan. I know he had a great roster, but so did these other guys. You know, they had really good players too. And I think McCarthy, when he was needed to come up with big plays.
Yeah, I said this. Yeah.
He got it done. And what else do you want from a quarterback? What else do you want? You know? Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's what made Eli great. Eli was not the best statistical passer. And I think there's probably going to be debate with that, whether or not he should be a Hall of Famer. But to me, when he was needed, he came up big. And that's what the Giants have not had since his prime. Is a quarterback that will put the team on their back, get it done with his arms and his legs. And, you know, that's where I just feel that's why I like McCarthy. Now, I don't like him that much more than May. I do think May's a better thrower. I think he's better at maneuvering the pocket. If you're going to tell me each one of these guys is going to hit their absolute ceiling, Drake May might be QB1 in this class, if I'm going to be honest about that. You know, and Brian Daboll, I do think if you're going to ask me for a prediction, who do the Giants like more based on what happened in Buffalo, you know, I do think it's going to be Drake May. I just don't think they might not be able to get him because I think that's who Minnesota wants as well.
That's the comparison I made in my column that it's just the similarities to what Josh Allen was in college.
Right.
Right. That kind of that wild stallion, like Mustang, like this is what Drake May is. And again, it's easy to just say, like, I wrote it like, oh, it's a perfect fit for Dable, but you don't know how that's going to play out. But that the similarities are there. Yeah. Dave, I just want to give you a little bit of kudos. You know, someone chiming in said it's his favorite episode of the year from Australia, you know, and he also asked a question. He's like, is there a genuine quarterback talent next year that the Giants can afford to wait and build the roster this year? So I just figured I'd ask that, and then Chris can ask his question.
Hey, man, this is a thing. Teams do this. They have a pulse on next year's draft class already.
Oh, absolutely.
And I've been asked that a few times, and I hate to say because I just haven't studied them. I don't do this full time, so I just don't have the time to look into next year's draft class. But I'm going to say right now, gun to my head, I do think there's going to be at least two quarterbacks in next year's group that are going to match the top four grades in this class, right? I have the top Caleb, Jaden, McCarthy, May as that first group, and then Penix and Nix in the next group. I think there's going to be two guys that would fit in with the top four guys in this class next year.
Okay. It's good to know. Yeah. Dave, Drake May, a lot of things scared the crap out of me about him. I got to be honest with you, Dave.
Frustrating. It's a roller coaster.
This is a kid to me is going to be a Josh Allen or he's going to be a total bust,
yeah,
in my opinion.
I agree.
That's just my opinion. It's going to be an Allen with a guy like Dable or some other quarterback coach or whatever it might be, another system, or he's going to be a guy you're never going to hear from. I also think Drake May is a year away. I don't think he has any chance at beating out Daniel. I think Daniel, he will play behind Daniel if the Giants go Drake.
Yep.
He will be behind Daniel for a whole year. I think he needs that.
Do you think that Daniel Jones, he should play next year, right?
Daniel's going to be playing in September, bro.
Yeah.
Rehab-wise or just playing good?
Well, period. He should be the starter.
He's going to be the starter. Yeah. As long as that knee is good, he's going to be the starter in September.
Okay. And I think that should be the case.
They'll take it from there. I think, personally, if they wind up landing in May, he's going to be behind Drew and Daniel. Yep. He's going to sit down for a year, and then we'll see in 2025 and all that stuff what happens. But he scares the crap out of me. I got to be honest with you, Dave. I've been, I always go around the end of March. I really start looking at these all 22s. To me, now, there's a lot, like Jerry said, it's a good comparison in a way because Josh Allen's another one. When he was in college, he missed a lot of throws he should have made, right? He wasn't that accurate at times. So I look at Drake May, I see a lot of the same shit, Dave. Mm. Intermediate throws, he misses.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the F? This is NFL throws. You got to move the chains.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah,
you ever see a basketball player that drains like, three threes in a row and then he goes and misses a layup?
Like, or foul shots. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's Drake May.
That's what you look at. And Drake is a kid all of a sudden who make this big time throw in a window.
Yeah.
Right. And then he'll miss a little 5 yard slant or a third and six and the kid's open on a dig, whatever it might be. And he's missing them. And I'm saying you can't miss those at the next level. But then I said, well, shit, even Josh Allen. I'm not going to compare yet, but I get the comparison. You understand what I'm saying? I get the comparison. I got to be honest with you too, Dave. Another thing, I'm watching Drake and I see him setting up in a pocket. His feet are drifted for no friggin' reason at times. And I'm like, what the F is his feet?
That back foot.
He went muting. Dave, Chris, you went muted.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
You guys got me again?
Yeah, we're good.
Dave, I'm watching the back foot. I see his feet drifted on a kid running a comeback route.
Yep.
And I'm like, what the F is he doing? Why is his feet drifting?
Yeah.
Could that be corrected? Yes. I'm not kidding.
That's dude. If you love Drake May, you hear that line a lot. Like, it can be corrected. Well, you know what? So can everything.
that doesn't necessarily mean it will. So this is just my opinion. I'm not sitting here saying this kid's gonna be a bust.
Right.
No, I'm just saying the kid scares me watching him.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And then you look at the film, right, David? You look at way more than me, bro. And I'm watching Bo Nix, right? And I'm saying to myself, holy shit, how good would Bo Nix be in Sean Payton's system? Mm. What do you mean, Chris? Well, check out his NFL-type throws, the intermediate throws that you need at this level to move the sticks.
Yeah.
Right, Dave? You look at Nix, and I'm watching him more and more. I was totally down on this kid 2 months ago. And he had a bad senior week, right? He was up and down in that senior week. And I'm watching him, and I'm saying, well, you know what? This kid in the right system, he's going to be good. Because look at the throw. He's making NFL intermediate beautiful throws.
Yep.
And I think a kid like that in Sean's system, Peyton's system, could really play well.
Yeah. I mean,
it wouldn't shock me to see him at 12 with Denver. It really wouldn't.
Oh, no. If you ask me, I make one mock draft myself a year. I wait till the week of, and – as of right now, Bo Nix is pretty much, with a Sharpie marker written in with Denver. And I think
I'm with you,
they got to do something. They don't have anybody at quarterback. They're going to do something.
Yeah.
And they gave up so many assets for Russell Wilson. They're eating so much money, but
$85 million.
Yeah. But I do think that there really isn't a huge market for Bo Nix. And I like him too. I have a late first grade on him. He's the kind of guy like Drew Brees was coming out of college, where he really can be a guy that gets the ball out fast. And I'll tell you what, I know this about Sean Payton. I don't think I'm breaking anything news here, but I do know this from his mouth. He will not take a quarterback that has hands that are 9 inches or lower. And that the hand size thing, it does get overplayed, but hey, it is a part of the evaluation. And I think McCarthy measured in around 9 inches. If I remember correctly, I have it right here. Blah, 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 blah. Yep, 9 inches exactly. Bo Nix, all right, 10 and an eighth. That's a huge hand. And it's not just the hand size. It's the ability to manipulate the football and pump fakes. I mean, if you remember when Drew Brees really started to take off at New Orleans, that was something that Sean Payton put into his game that no one ever talks about. Drew Brees had a 10 and he had an enormous hand. And I did something. I'll put a tweet out there with the findings of this, but every single quarterback that Drew Brees signed, that Sean Payton signed and or drafted, big hands, every single one of them. So I think that in the combination with how Bo Nix plays football, his physical profile, which is similar to Drew Brees, he was a much better athlete than people think, right?
Absolutely.
That's the fit. So that's where I think Bo Nix will end up. Do I have him as a top 15 pick? No, I don't. But I do think that's where he's going to end up.
Dave, I agree with you 100%. I look at him. I said, that's Sean Payton written all over him, brother.
Yep.
That's the way I see Bo Nix. Yep. And people were destroying me on Twitter. Are you out of your mind? Guys, look at the film. You know, this isn't college ball. You got to see what these kids, how they are going to fit in an NFL system. And you have to make throws and move the sticks, okay?
And he's a grown man. I mean, this kid played 6 years of football, 61 college starts, the most in NCAA history.
Amazing.
And, you know, Sean Payton is not the easiest coach to work with. I think there are some personalities that would not respond well to his coaching. And if you ask me which one of these personalities up here that would respond the best, it would probably be Bo Nix or McCarthy. Don't think McCarthy is going to be there, so I don't think it's a factor. I think Nix is a great fit, more ways than one for Denver.
I agree with you, Dave. So before we wrap up, Dave, Jerry, if you want to ask one last thing, do the Giants draft a quarterback, Dave, in the first round? Yes or no?
Yeah, I do. I do think it's going to be a quarterback if they can get their hands on one of those first four guys. The whole trade up discussion, I think they're in the same boat. They don't have a lot of assets to give up. I hope they don't trade someone like Wandale Robinson as part of a package. I could see that. I like him. I think he's got a future here. I think they really want to do a lot with him his rookie season. Then he got hurt.
I think it's the best draft pick from Shane so far.
Yeah, I agree. And I believe in that kid. I really do. I think he'd be a big time player. Now that he's more than a year removed from that torn ACL, and his game is so much based on movement and cuts and agility and burst. So now that I just hope they don't trade him as part of a package. But I bring that up because I don't think it's going to be a huge cost. I don't see them selling a future one and multiple twos to go up and get the quarterback. So, yes, I do think they're going to get their hands on one of these guys, but it won't be for an Eli Manning type trade.
You think they have a preference as to May or McCarthy?
Gun to my head.
Just your guess.
May. I think they would prefer May.
Okay.
I think because of Dable, they would go with May.
Yeah.
I think Dave looks at him and sees a lot of Josh Allen in his.
Agree, 100%.
Yeah,
that's why I think that.
Before we wrap it up, the whole Drake May maybe it's just because I'm just listening to too much these days now, but you know, the whole Josh Allen experiment that has panned out for Buffalo for the most part, right? He's a unicorn. He's like that kind of success rate, taking a chance on a guy like that with the talent and turning it to what he turned into, that happens 1 out of 10 times. You know, like let's not act like Drake May, it's not automatically going to happen. And what makes Josh Allen special to me, it's not just the arm talent. It's how tough he is. Yeah. I mean, the guy has like Ben Roethlisberger type ability to evade pressure with guys draped all over his body and make those spectacular plays. I'll say this. I have a note on Drake May, and I have confirmation over 8 plays on this. He is not as hard as Josh Allen when you're talking toughness. Go watch his QB sneaks. If you have time between now and then, watch his QB sneaks, 4th and 1, 3rd and 1 near the goal line. Soft. That's not Josh Allen.
Dave, before we wrap this up, I'm gonna come out and say it. I'm not a Drake May guy. I hope they don't draft him.
Yeah,
Dave. Listen, this is just me. You're better at this than me, Dave. I'm no scout. But
it's a guess, man.
I do watch these kids pretty hard. And a lot of times in these drafts, Jerry will tell you, like, yo, Chris, you had that kid. I look at him, Dave. I got to be honest with you. I hope they don't draft him. I'll go with AJ over him, bro.
Yeah. Or wide receiver one.
Well, Dave, yeah, we'll get into that now. We're going to dive into wide receivers now. Obviously, that does. But, dude, he scares me. I'm not a Drake May guy. I hope they don't go with him. I really don't.
Yeah.
Now,
Go ahead, Jerry. I'm sorry. Finish up.
No, I was going to say, dude, last thing on quarterback. 35 minutes on quarterback. I could talk for 2 hours on quarterback with you, Dave. Not, guys, I love this. This is so much fun.
It's very important because the Giants.
But it's fun, too. Guys, this is a fun. This is a fun-ass conversation, too.
And it's just interesting. It's interesting. Yeah,
right. Absolutely. Yeah. Where did you have Allen in that draft? I'm curious. I know you didn't like Darnold like me. You and I were lockstep with that one. I said, this guy's a turnover machine. I'm not seeing what everyone's seeing. I'll say the one I got right. I didn't like Sam Darnold. Where did you have Josh Allen? I don't remember.
Bear with me. I'm going to get it right now because I don't want to lie to you.
That's fine.
Don't lie, Dave.
It was not where he ended up. 2018.
Yeah, listen, if you can't find it, it's I'll no big deal.
Before I try to claim any credit on Josh Allen, I will tell you that my QB1 in that draft was Josh Rosen.
So. I agree. I remember that.
Dave. Yeah. Me and Jerry destroyed him. We thought he was a tomato from day one.
Oh, Josh man. Rosen. That's, I, you know,
and
I
that was more, and that was a personal, talk about people destroying you. Like,
yeah.
I got destroyed on Twitter because I knew someone who met him and he had no interest in talking football when he was getting drafted. And they're like, what do you know? You don't know. This guy doesn't know. I'm like, guys, he met him and he had zero interest talking about football. Yeah. Anyway.
And that was the red flag on him. The kid isn't into all football.
Right.
I remember specifically trying to rile up Gettleman by asking him about his present. And the word is that this kid doesn't love football, Dave. Oh, no, he does. Oh. Yeah, okay, right. It turned out the kid was a tomato, please. Dave. Yeah.
All right.
So let's dive into receivers, Dave. Okay.
Yes.
The top three we know. This is how I look at the top three, okay? Marvin, number one, best route runner. Okay, hold on. Number two, Rome. Toughest contested catch, toughest bubble ball. Number three, Malik, most explosive.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dave. How do you have these kids rated?
So Marvin Harrison and Rome Odunze are going to tie for my wide receiver 1A, 1B. And,
Love you, Dave.
And they also graded – I've never had three. So my grading scale, if you get a 90-plus – I'm projecting you to be an all pro. And I rarely give them. I think
really,
I had one last year.
You rarely give that, bro.
Who'd you have?
Really do that?
Will Anderson. So I thought he was my only 90 last year.
And he will be all pro.
Oh, he will be. Yeah, there's no question. Yes, that was easy. I'm not taking credit for that. That was an easy one.
Dave, you never know how these kids turn out. Don't say that.
No, I agree.
Give yourself credit for that. Don't say that, brother. I remember a kid named Javian Clowney that came out years ago, and everybody thought he was going to be a 9-time all pro, including the guy in the upper left-hand corner.
There's no point in destroying Javian Clowney. He just hasn't been in the right system.
He started turning on a little bit. He had a great year last year.
It took 8 to 9 years
before
he got going.
He never panned out what they thought.
Blame it on coaching.
Okay.
You know,
right.
So what's interesting to me and what I like about this is so I've never had three guys ever this high rated in one class. So I do think, and also the depth, I think this is the best wide receiver class I've ever evaluated. Yeah. And there have been a lot of good ones lately. And these three guys at the top are just like, when I call someone a number one wide receiver, I am not talking about a best wide receiver on your team. I am talking about, there's probably a dozen of them in the league. That's right. It of like guys that third and six, you know, the third and six, you're down four. There's a minute five left. You're on the 20-yard line. You know who's going to get the ball and they still get it done. That's a number one wide receiver to me. And all three of these guys I'm going to project. And what I like, they're all different style players. I mean, to me, Harrison is more finesse, kind of like his father, a lot bigger though. He's finesse. He's mentally a step ahead of everyone. He is the best route runner. The nuances. I loved watching his tape. The nuances to what the ball skills, the route running, the feel for the defense post-catch, how fluid his lower body is, how easily he tracks the ball. I mean, I've never seen a guy with so much control track the ball over his shoulder. It's amazing. It's a hard trait to find. Rome Odunze is just a physical dominator, Larry Fitzgerald type. The coordination and the eye-hand coordination he has when he attacks the football is something that I can't recall seeing over the past 5 to 6 years. And then Neighbors is just, he's the most explosive dog competitor, yard after catch, you know, give him a 5-yard route and just watch him take off type. So, you know, they're all just different kinds of receivers. And to me, the Giants, what do they need the most? I mean, that's probably the discussion A in that room is Absolutely. What wide receiver, what flavor do we need in this room to complement Darius Slayton, Wandale Robinson, Jalin Hyatt? What do we need to get the most out of those guys? And that's who we go after if we have an option at all three, or, you know, if only two of them are available, then so be it. It's a great situation to be in because you're going to get one of them if you don't want to go quarterback. Guaranteed.
Based on what you said, it sounds like Odunze, right? But are you going to be the team that takes Odunze over Harrison, right? If they're both there. And it's not like it's a dumb pick, but it's like, wow, you passed on Harrison for, like, you know what I mean? It's just, it's that, you got to be careful there. That's all.
It would be tough.
You know, they're both going to probably be great. So
it would be tough. I will say, I love Harrison's game, but Odunze and who he is off the field, the intangibles, the fact that he's 220.
6'3", too, Dave.
Yeah. What?
He's 6'3", too.
Yeah, he's big. And Dave, you know what's Harrison? Harrison's body type, right? He's tall. I think he measured in at 6'4".
6'3", too, or 6'3 and a half or something, right?
He's a short-limbed guy, though. He doesn't play as long as most guys that are that big.
Harrison, you're saying?
Yep.
He doesn't look it. Yeah.
It's a weird body type. It's the long torso, short limbs, which actually helps him with route run. That's part of why he's so good. When you have a high hip frame, it's hard for guys to get in and out of breaks, you know, and – you know, so Harrison, but Harrison's great in contested situations too. He's just not as physical. The one thing I don't love about Harrison's game, the one reason why I had these guys, Odunze and Harrison, with the same grade, was he's not a huge competitor after the catch. You know, he's not really trying. And hey, maybe that keeps him healthy and on the field. You know, with the way Odunze plays and Neighbors too, they could run themselves into a few injuries just by, you know, fighting for extra yards and taking some extra hits. But you know, Harrison's more like, hey, you know, try to beat these guys mentally than physically. And I'll tell you what, I think he's a 4-5 guy. I don't think he's as fast or as explosive as the other two. Interesting to me that he didn't do one workout. You know, you know, the line that, hey, I'm preparing for football on Sundays, I'm not going to work out for scouts. I mean, come on, dude, everyone else does. And I think he was hiding something. That's usually, you know, that's the little red flag to me. So if someone did take Odunze over Harrison, I wouldn't criticize it at all. It would be probably an uncomfortable card to hand in.
I agree.
But I really do think that they bring different things to the table. So it's hard to say, like, hey, this one's better than the other.
Yeah, not saying I would criticize it. It's just you are putting yourself out there a little bit, I think.
Oh, yeah.
That's all.
Publicly, it'd be an issue.
Guys, 42 minutes in. We're going to take one more break, and then, Chris, you come back with your question. Guys, you're listening to the Giant Insider Podcast. Hang on one second. And we're back. Folks, listen to the Giant Insider Podcast with Jerry Foley. And Chris, nobody with the biz igniter with our special guest, Dave Syvertson. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, no, Dave. Look, I'm with you, bro. I have Rome rated right up there with Marvin. I do think Marvin is better all around. I do. I remember Marvin a couple years ago against Michigan. He was playing hurt, and he made some contested catches in that game, and he was hurt. I remember. Really impressed me, Dave. You know, I'm not questioning the kid's heart. I think he's smart, Dave, as far as not taking. I think he's got a lot of his dad in him in a way.
He
tries to avoid those extra yak. To take the big hit. With Rome, I saw him 1,000 friggin' times put his helmet down, and he's like a running back trying to gain the extra yards on Yak. You know, he's off. But like you said, Dave, you got to be very careful at this level doing that.
You're not playing
Washington State and Oregon. You're playing these guys, these safeties, and, you know, and linebackers that are coming up. You know, they're going to knock you the hell out, brother. You know, so he's going to have – Rome's going to have to adjust to that a little. You don't want to take away his physicality, but you also have to be pretty smart. Where I think Marvin – Dave is not, he's pretty smart like that. Like, I'm not going to take the big hit to get the extra 2 yards. You get what I'm saying, Dave?
Yeah. The nuances to the position are fun to watch with him. He just, you can tell he knows what he's doing. You can tell he's been taking notes. He's got a PhD in wide receiver, you know?
Yeah. Dave, watching Malik Davis last year in LSU and then watching him at the All-22 some games.
Yeah.
I put it on Twitter about 3 weeks ago. Dude, so many times, guys, Corn is playing 10 yards off man on Malik, and Malik's just blowing by them like they're not even there. And they're 10 yards off man. Forget about playing the man press on that kid at LSU. He's so impressive. Most explosive by far, in my opinion, Dave. You can't go wrong, bro. You know, if the Giants – say Marvin's off the board. I think Arizona would be crazy to pass up Marvin. I got to be honest with you, Dave. I think he's a generational talent. You'd be crazy to pass up. They need a number one bet. Anyway, to me, even I think the Giants, personally, Dave, I think the Giants like Neighbors' explosiveness a little bit more. I wouldn't surprise me to see them go with Malik. If they do, you know, no, the quarterback thing doesn't go and they stay at six. You know, I could see them go with Malik. To me, it doesn't matter. Dave, to me, you're not one way or the other, brother. You're getting a kid you could throw on the X and be that number one guy, bro.
Yep.
So, with
Neighbors, you know, he measured in under 6 foot. He's 200 pounds. He's tough.
Yeah.
But, dude, 30 missed tackles force. None of these other guys had half that. You know, man. It's – he to fix an offense, kind of like what San Francisco does, that really help out Brock Purdy, is to get these guys that are going to make things happen after the catch. Don't put it all on the quarterback, right? Short routes, get the ball out. You know, you can offset some offensive line issues, and then you take a lot of pressure off the quarterback, having to throw these dimes down the field and into traffic, where you know you manufacture some space for these guys to work with, and Neighbors gets open easily. I do think he's not the best route runner, but I do think he's got the best route running potential with how good he is at sticking his foot in the ground and changing direction. He's a little sloppy because he didn't have to do it much at LSU, a lot of outside routes, but you get that ball in that guy, in that kid's hand, it's going to remind you of the last LSU receiver that the Giants drafted in Odell Beckham. Like the whole stadium's going to like take a big breath the second he gets the ball. That's the kind of ability this kid has after the catch. And that can help out a quarterback deficiency more than anything.
And this is why, folks, this is why I love Dave Syverson, because he does his friggin' homework. And I mentioned this before when Jaden played in Alabama and I said his receivers were running sloppy routes. They didn't help him a lot of times. And what did I say at the beginning of the podcast? I said, yes, Malik was one of them. Remember I said that, Dave, at the beginning of his pocket? And it's true. And Dave is 100%. He could be a little sloppy in routes. Doesn't mean he can't clean it up, folks. Yeah. I'm just saying, watching him at LSU, he could be a little sloppy in routes, where you looked at Roman, especially Marvin, wasn't as sloppy in routes. No question about it. Dave, my question, the Giants go quarterback, you know, first round. They're in the second round now. They need a receiver. Talk about some of these kids that could go over there. Number, what are they, Jerry? 47 second?
Yeah, 47.
Who could be a 47, Dave? Where you could get a pretty damn, as history has shown us, you get a lot of good receivers in the second round, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Who do you think will be there at round 47?
So I'm assuming there's, it's funny, this wide receiver group has just a group of guys. I didn't lose you. All right, cool. Group has a group of guys that are just, they project the slot so well. And my question is, and I know creative offensive minds, you can work a couple different slots, but I don't know what Dalen Waller's deal is. So I think he's like an oversized slot if he ends up coming back. They have Wandell Robinson, who's a gadget guy, but I do want to see him as a full-time receiver, not just a gadget guy. They bring in Isaiah McKenzie to be a backup gadget guy, maybe return specialist. But there's guys like Roman Wilson from Michigan that I absolutely love just from a route running. I thought he was the best receiver at Mobile, him and Ladd McConkey, who I don't think is going to be there in round two, but the size profile could knock him down. So those are the two slots. I like Ricky Pearsall as well. Those three guys.
Ricky Pearsall, shout out.
There you go, Anthony. I'm on the same page.
Anthony. Good job.
Ricky Pearsall is an option at 47, and I'm listing off a few names to just say, like, one of these guys will be there. I don't know who's going to be there based on what other teams want. Some of these guys have more size. Some of these guys have better yak ability. Some of these guys have better hands. But one of those guys will be there if you want to get someone that can work the inside of the field. If you're looking for more of an outside threat, a guy that I would want to keep an eye on is Troy Franklin from Oregon. Even though he hasn't had the best pre-draft process, I did have a first-round outlook on him prior to the combine. And it wasn't just a disappointing workout. He didn't look great in drills. And then I went back, I watched the tape. I've watched so much Bo Nix tape, and you can't watch Bo Nix tape without watching Troy Franklin. And he is another Jalen Hyatt type, but I think he's more physical. And he's a big-time deep threat. And if the Giants want to create an identity with this passing game, and they're going to wait till round two, they have the makings of being a wide receiver group that is going to scare the crap out of you vertically. You know, if you can get Jalen Hyatt going, we didn't get to see much last year, unfortunately, and we thought that was going to be the case. You add in Wandale Robinson, who can get vertical, Darius Slayton, who can get vertical, but if you add another credible deep threat, now you have something that a lot of teams just can't defend. You can't defend this much speed. I mean, I'm even an Xavier Worthy guy. I don't think he's going to be there in the second round. He's not an undersized fast guy. He is much more than that. He's closer to DeSean Jackson than Tank Dell. And hey, I'll take either one of those guys, but the size profile can scare you a little bit. That's exactly what happened to Tank Dell last year. Another name I would say even maybe round three is Jermaine Burton from Alabama. There are off-field concerns about him. I don't have as much inside information as some seem to have. I don't know if it's a talking point, but this guy has glue attached to his enormous hands. I think he led the SEC in yards per reception 2 years in a row, both with Bryce Young and Jalen Milroe. So he was not a product of a quality quarterback play. So those are a few names that what I would want if I was making the decision for the Giants, I want someone explosive. And explosive can come as a vertical threat like Jalin Hyatt, or it can come in a Roman Wilson type where he's just so shifty, so quick, so explosive after the catch that they will create plays on their own.
Dave, what do you have Keon Coleman?
So I have he's in that group too. I think he's my wide receiver 11. He's right after there's Troy Franklin, Roman Wilson, Keon Coleman, and he's actually in front of Jermaine Burton. Does the 4-6 bother me? It did a little bit because the notes I have on him was he had a hard time separating. So now you're saying he run a 4-6. Now I do think there's 40. I'm still a believer that there is 40 yard dash speed and there's game speed, and he does have better game speed. And that actually showed up in the drills. I was watching the combine on TV and the drills, he was running faster than almost everyone. So he plays fast. Right. And I still think his skill set fits in with what the Giants need, a jump ball guy, a possession guy. But again, now you're getting a little too cookie cutter with, all right, we have our little slot. We have our downfield threat. Let's get the Amani Toomer type. It's nothing wrong with that. But to me, then you don't have an identity, right? I'm one of these guys that I would still love the Giants to get another edge rusher or pass rusher. It doesn't have to be an edge guy because I want them to have something that other teams are scared of. And that to me, if you're going to get a Keon Coleman type, it's a nice compliment to what they have. And I won't fight against it. And I like Keon Coleman, but he's not going to be that deep vertical threat that I think others think he can be. He's not fast enough.
I think Chris made the analogy. I think he did, Chris. I don't speak for you, but Plaxico Burress, but mind you, a bit of Plaxico Burress.
Yeah. I could see that.
Like Dave said, Jerry, you know, I remember he played against Notre Dame. Keon Coleman, and like you said, he's a 4-6 kid, but and I'm a big believer in this too, said numerous years that's nice, that 4-6, 4-3, 4-5 shit at the combine, but give me the game speed. Where's the game speed? And Dave hit it right in the head, because I've seen Keon numerous times. I remember he killed the Irish. I was like, this kid doesn't run like a 4-6 kid.
This kid's
got good game speed, and he goes up and gets it, you know. To me, he's a second-round talent. That's what I have him at, too, Dave. Some people have said maybe a late first for him. I don't know. I don't see that, but that's possible. Who the hell knows how these teams have these guys graded out? You know. So
yeah, I have him in the second, third-round area right there. I have him in there's so many area. Receivers in that cluster right there. Yeah, I mean, I feel deep. Like we play this every year now.
It's a deep draft for wide receivers, man. Yep. I mean, the Giants go quarterback one. You could get a pretty good kid at 47-2, man.
That's the argument that some will make about against drafting a wide receiver early in the draft is, A, you could find one day two. And B, you could probably even wait till next year, because there's the way the game is being played at the college level now. I mean, we're saying this every year now, guys, like, oh man, this wide receiver. And that's part of why I think some teams are going to start getting rid of wide receivers that cost a lot of money, because you could find a cheaper replacement in the draft. I mean, some of these contracts are just getting out of hand.
Is it becoming like kind of like running back a little bit?
In the opposite, well, I would say in the opposite direction, in that you're still going to use a premium pick on a wide receiver.
Right. But you're not paying you don't want to pay that contract.
Right. Like you can get similar production for a third of the price. Right. And I mean, if you get a true Justin Jefferson type, then yeah, you pay him.
Sure.
But here's a good example. This is going to be fun to keep track of. Brandon Ayuk in San Francisco. What are they going to do there? I think he's going to get traded between now and the draft.
They're paying one guy already. They're already paying. Debo. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're already paying. I can't see them paying two guys, Dave.
Yeah. And I mean, they can, because they're paying a seventh round quarterback, but if they believe in him, they're going to be paying him in 2 years. So, and to me, Brandon Ayuk, he's a nice player. I mean, hell, if I'm the Giants, I'd be in that market. I'd want to know what it costs, but you know, it comes down to, you can find Brandon Ayuk production in the first and second round of this draft, and you're going to be paying a third of the price. So, you know, the economics are a huge part of this. And I'm looking at the wide receiver stack right now. Like, I take any of the first 20 guys in this class. I mean, you have to pick them in the right spot. But that's why I think there is an argument against early wide receiver, because you can get good players in round two and you can get good players every single year.
Dave, not that the Giants would make this pick at 6, but the Giants do have a tight end problem now, or a tight end question, I should say. Because Darren Waller hasn't decided what he wants to do with his life. So, Brock Bowers, how good is this kid, and how high do you see him going?
Man,
And I don't mean to jump off receiver, but he's a very interesting.
He's more receiver than tight end. My son, he's going to turn four at the end of the month. His name's Brock. So I just think it'd be cool.
Oh, nice.
It'd just be cool. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
Brock Purdy. That's a badass name, Dave. Nice job.
I know. He better be a badass.
He has to be.
But hey, Brock Bowers to me needs the right system. He needs the right play caller. And I believe the Giants, the background they have between Kafka and Dable, they will know what to do with a real threat. I think that's why they've got Darren Waller, but Darren Waller just is not what he was a few years ago.
Yeah.
They took that third round gamble on sending that draft. He looked great in training camp, and then that was it. I just don't think he has the movement traits anymore. I mean, I was so disappointed. He was probably my biggest disappointment last year. It wasn't that a lack of production. He just, like, I remember him trying to high point balls and adjust his body in the air. It's just not there anymore. That's that quick explosion that he showed in Oakland / Las Vegas. So, you know, is Brock Bauer in play at six? I don't think he is. I don't think he should be, because as much as I love him, and I graded him very highly. I think he's going to, if you're just talking about grades and you're not bringing position value into the equation, because that's part of my final grading process, you know, I think that Bowers is one of the top six players in this draft. So if you're just going to use that definition, hey, pay the Baltimore Ravens template, just pick the best player, he should be in play. Yeah. Especially if you're going to not go after one of these quarterbacks. But to me, it's not the kind of guy that's going to change your passing game. It's a guy that would be an excellent big-time complement to an already existing big-time passing game.
Kind of similar to your assessment a few years ago of a guy the Giants just signed today with Isaiah Simmons. I know it's opposite side of the ball, but it sounds very similar to what you were saying about him. Like, he's not the guy you build around. He's a guy you add in.
Right, and that's where he will have his most value. If you're going to bring him in and be like, all right, you got to be our number one, it's just not going to work out. Because to me, Brock Bowers is a wide receiver. Yeah, can he block? Yes. He's a better blocker than people think. And he's tough. He's hard-nosed. He loves the game. He had that tightrope surgery on his ankle to come back and play in that meaningless bowl game. I mean, that to me showed me something about him personality-wise. Yeah. And just watching him play football, I'm in awe of what he does. And I'm in awe of how Georgia used him. But are the Giants going to use him like that? Or whoever drafts him? You know, I have him slated to go to the Jets right now. And, you know, are they going to use him correctly? Is Aaron Rodgers going to use him correctly? Because if not, he's going to be a Dalton Kincaid at best type, which is a good player, but he's not going to be someone that changes your offense. You can get, if you're going to take him over one of these wide receivers, you're now looking past a guy that can change your offense if you get better quarterback play. I don't think Bowers is the guy that changes your offense that much.
And real quick, you said the Jets. I think that would be terrible for his career with Robert Saleh as your head coach. I mean, if the Jets don't win this year, he's gone, but I'm just saying, like, that would be a bad situation for him. Go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
Yeah, and speaking of Darren Waller, you know, he's not the same player. And guess what, Dave? Not guess what, but his heart's not in it, Dave. Come on. I mean, let's talk facts. His heart's not there anymore. Yeah. I mean, look what's going on here. Going back and forth. He still hasn't made a decision.
Yeah.
It's a bad sign. I'm sorry. It's a bad sign. You know, so I just wanted to talk about that before we finish up. So, Jerry, we're done with receivers. You want to move on to
whatever you want. It's all
let's move on to another thing. I think the Giants can target.
Whatever you want to do.
Dave, second, third round, cornerback. Mm-hmm. Not as deep, right, Dave? As years pass, it looks like you got one guy. Looks like he kind of stands out, and then maybe a first round grade in Mitchell, and then you got a bunch of second and third round grades. That's what it seems to be, anyway. So second round, third round, Dave. Who's some of the guys you like who could be at 47? Who could make a difference? The kid from Kentucky seems to be rising up.
Andrew Phillips.
You know,
I noticed.
Who do you like, Dave?
I noticed Andrew Phillips from Kentucky before I knew who he was. It was just kind of like, you know, the way he moved, the way he covered the deep ball. A little small. I think he might be a nickel type. If we're looking at a day two corner, I would like the Giants to stay in state. And I love the kid Max Melton from Rutgers. Just fast, explosive, ball skills are off the charts. There's, you know, to me, a cornerback, you have to have that. This is like the one position. If you don't test well, you're going to get bumped down, period. And he tested exceptionally well. But then the next most important part to me is just like the swagger you play with, the toughness, the desire, like the hustle, like the little things that you do, it adds up. I mean, really tough position for me personally to scout. And really tough position for guys to pan out in the NFL. I mean, the bust rate there is pretty rough because there's just the margin for error there is so small. I almost feel bad for these guys, but you can't touch them anymore either. But Max Melton's a guy that I love if they want a hybrid outside-inside threat. You know, do they need a nickel? Do they need another outside guy? Like, you know, what is Cordell Flott? What's their plan with them? Is he in the long-term future? My favorite nickel in the draft is Mike Sandersill from Michigan. You talk about a guy that is a playmaker, former wide receiver that, hey, all of a sudden, can you play cornerback for us? Oh, okay, you're an All-American. You know, it's like he's a football player and, you know, not the best run supporter, but not because of toughness. He just takes poor angles. And to me, that's just like he hasn't played enough corner. And I think he's only going to get better. You know, you get some of these guys that are early on the progression curve. You know, you see them really eat up a lot of margin in their first year or two. Once they get NFL coaching and they get a little more comfortable. So that's a guy that I really like day two. Another one I like, if they want more size, is Kyrie Jackson from Oregon. I mean, his numbers are just off the charts in terms of how big he is. And I do think in the NFC East, this is something that I think the new defensive coordinator is going to want. He measured in at 6'3", 194, 30, almost just under 33-inch arms, ran a 4.5, but it's 1.50 10-yard split. He's faster than 4.5. Wow. You know, if you remember what Tariq Woolen did for Seattle a couple of years ago as a rookie, that's who this kid can be. And, you know, I do think he's going to be there around. And I do think corner doesn't get talked enough about with in regard to what the Giants need, because everyone's just obsessed with offense. It's an offensive league, but
they need another corner.
And
they're missing a starter on the other side.
Right.
Just are.
Right. Yeah. And that, it's not a spot you want to be weak at in the NFL. It usually won't work out unless you have an absolutely dominant pass rush with, I think the pieces are there to be a good pass rush, but you know, and I know they used a first round asset last year on Deontay Banks. And to me, this front office is very system plan driven that they won't use another early round pick on one, but day two, I think it's on the table.
So can you get a starter on day three? And I'm saying day three because I'm imagining, we have no idea what's going to happen, but I'm imagining the third round pick and the first move up for their quarterback.
Yeah.
You use your second on a wide receiver. Now you're stuck with, now it's round four. Is a starter there? Like, to me, it seems like, okay, then I'm going to take the best edge rusher on the board unless my starting cornerback is there.
Yeah, right. I mean, I would not go into draft weekend saying, let's find our starting cornerback in round four. Can it happen? Sure. But you could say that about any position.
Yeah,
There's a kid from Louisville that I like, Jarvis Brownlee Jr. I like him as a fourth round pick that just, he excelled at the Senior Bowl. He was one of my favorite corners to watch down at the Senior Bowl. Cam Hart from Notre Dame. I've liked him for 2 years. He's not consistent enough, but he is, you know, because I've been watching him for 2 years. I'm like, dude, he's got it. You know, it's just not always there. And again, corner, it's a hard spot to evaluate. You can watch corner for 80 plays. And then on play 81, you get your first eval on them other than just the height, weight, speed, and movement traits. So, and I've seen enough out of Cam Hart that I do think he can project to be a starter. And I do think he'll be had on day three.
Dave, to me, Cam's a kid. You look at, I know he's 4'5", 4'6".
Rob says Chris paid Dave for that commentary on the Notre Dame.
Yeah. I just got a notification on my Venmo, but
yeah, Dave. Yeah, no, hope I paid you enough, Dave. I've been talking because there's a prime example of a kid that you watched against top competition the last few years, and he stepped up.
Yep.
USC last year, Marvin Harrison, Ohio State game, and a kid stepped up in press man, not just playing some cover three or cover two shell and all that stuff or quarters, whatever. I'm talking press man, and he stepped up. That's what I look for, Dave.
He'll support the run.
He's a big kid. Yeah, no, yeah. I loved him for 2 years like you, David. I know people aren't talking about him that much because I know he's had some injuries. He's a big kid and all that stuff. And not that the big works against him, but the speed, the 40 speed kind of, I guess, is scaring people, whatever it might be. But he's a kid that's played really well in big, big situations against quality receivers. So that's a kid to watch out for. I think he goes in the third round, Dave. You know what I mean? I do.
Yeah,
I think he could take him in the third round. I really would.
I also like Josh Newton from TCU, 5'11", 190. A little small, but he's quicker than he is fast. But I loved his tape, and I think he doesn't get talked up enough. He's going to be a day three guy that if the Giants are looking for a corner, he's a guy that I would be really happy with in round four, maybe even round five if he makes it there.
Dave, one kid a lot of people are fascinated by where he's going to play is Cooper DeJean.
Yeah, good one.
Pro day on Monday. Next Monday, he's working out.
Safety? Yeah, yeah, Monday. Is he a corner safety? Well, how do you have him, Dave?
I have him in my safety stack, but I'm in the minority there. Most people have him as an outside corner. That's primarily where he played at Iowa, but he was a Brian Branch type where he just played everywhere because he's just so good. He's mentally, he's very cute. He knows what's happening. He moves in the right direction at all times. Some tightness in the hips, not enough to say he can't play corner, but the workout will be important for him. He's been a big mystery. He got hurt. I forget what it was. It might've been a broken leg or something. It was something lower body related. And we just didn't get to see enough. He was a guy that everyone was in on over the fall, but that we didn't get to see enough, and he hasn't worked out yet. And it's funny. I have some guys that are really, they think he's still one of the top 15 talents in the draft. Mm-hmm. And they're praying that he has a good workout on Monday, because if not, you could see him fall into day two. I mean, remember Brian Branch last year, mm-hmm. right? Falls into day two and everyone's like, what's happening yeah. here? And then he goes down and he tore it up for Detroit. Part of one of the best draft classes in NFL history with what Detroit did last year. And, you know, it's funny. I mean, this is where I don't want to go off too off on too much of a tangent here, but Detroit was getting crushed last year for taking a running back and inside linebacker early in the draft.
They didn't draft by need. They just drafted the best football players. That's what they did.
It's so, and it's, that's why you have to, all of us, we need to be accountable to that. Let's not get too obsessed with what happens draft weekend. You got to let these things play out. And Cooper DeJean, I bring that situation up because the dude's a football player. And because of the new return, kick return rules that are being implemented this year, he is a big time returner. If you told me to, hey, who are your top five returners? He's on that list. So there's just so much you can do with a guy like that. That's why I still think there's a good shot he'll be drafted in round one.
Wow. Okay. Jerry?
Dave, so I don't, we're over an hour. I thank you for your time here. This is phenomenal, dude. I love talking to you. We love talking to you. This is so
time flies when we're having fun.
Yeah, man, it really does. I know. Thanks, Rob. The Rangers are up 2-1. Defensive line, like I said edge rusher before that they would take the best edge rusher. But when you look at the Giants, like you're excited about the prospect of Dexter Lawrence playing with Thibodeau, playing with Burns. Yep. Oh my god. So you're really excited. Already, huh? Oh my god, you're really excited. You said Brian Branch before. I kept thinking Branch. So you're excited about that. But you know, on the roster now, it's like, okay, well, who's going to play next to Dexter Lawrence? Like, you could also say that there's so many needs for this team, right? Yep. And we're concentrating on quarterback and wide receiver the first two rounds. You have no idea what they're going to do, but we think that's the way it's going to go. But as far as defensive line goes, you know, who's a name in the fourth or fifth round that you say, you know what, they could come in and contribute, not so much as a not even a full-time starter, but someone with significant playing time or decent amount of playing time.
So you're really more talking about like interior guys, right?
Yes.
Okay. So
not edge.
Here's a name that I like a lot. I thought he was overrated last summer into fall. You know, people are calling him a potential top 10 pick. I never saw it. But now I feel like he's being underrated. This happens every year. There's always a couple guys. And his name is Mason Smith from LSU. I'm just going to give you the measurables real quick. He's massive. I mean, I was watching the LSU Pro Day. And it's just funny when you see some of these guys among big men, they look like giants still. 6'5", 306, 35-inch arms, ran a 5-second 40, 31-inch vertical, 9-inch broad jump. Those kind of numbers you don't see on this kind of body type. And he has flashes of being a guy that kind of what Dexter Lawrence had coming out of Clemson. Just like he was just so big and powerful and fast that he didn't have to do much technique-wise in college. And when he faced off against good competition, he got eaten up a little bit, but every now and then you see that flash. And I saw some Chris Jones in him and just the way he played, that he can move inside out. And this is a guy, he was a big time recruit and he had a huge freshman season with LSU down the stretch. I mean, he was tearing it up. Then he tore his ACL 8 plays into the 2022 season. Yeah. So now you're really just, you know, big guy like that. They don't rehab as quickly as a Wandale Robinson type. But you know, the Mason Smith projection to the next level, I feel like he's a great complement to Dexter Lawrence. And I think he's the kind of guy that would benefit from playing under Dex for a while because they're just very similar athletes, bodies, and play styles that if he could just pick up on half of what Dexter Lawrence has developed as a pass rusher, at that size, I mean, you're talking about something that, what did I say earlier? You want an identity. I want the Giants to get another pass rusher, and I would go day two on it. I would. And
The reason I asked is, like, right now it's Jordan Riley, DJ Davidson, you know, Nacho. Like, there's just, okay, it's a crapshoot. Now, they could be something, but it reminds me a little bit of the situation, to be honest with you, like Barry Cofield in 2006. When he was drafted, I think in the fourth round, it was, he's probably going to start. Because the interior was like, it's a big question mark, right? Yep. I think it was 06. So it reminds me a little bit of that situation. So I think if the kid getting drafted in the fourth or fifth round here, it's almost like, dude, you got a golden opportunity to contribute right away based on what's ahead of you.
Yep. So. And you know, I'll be honest with you. I don't know how, like, I had a good feel for what Wink Martindale wanted along that defensive line last year. I'm not sure what the new guy's going to want skill set wise. There are some really attractive pass rushers. I don't know if they're going to be there day two, but you know, is Braden Fisk the pass rusher from Florida State? Is he going to drop? You know, I mean, he's had such an unbelievable pre-draft process, and he's probably played his way into day two. Brandon Dorlus was a hybrid defensive end, defensive tackle at Oregon that is not athletic enough to play the edge in the NFL, but he can be a Justin Tuck, not that caliber, but that type of inside pass rusher. On passing downs, Michael Hall Jr. is a little undersized, but he's as explosive. Like, and he's extremely long for a guy that measured in at 6'1". I mean, these guys would just be ideal complements to what the Giants already have.
Dave, a kid, by the way, Dan Mann says, Derek Brown getting paid just another minor, how important, easily forgotten. Well, the Giants didn't forget that. They paid Dex alone. It's big money. Yeah. But Dave, a kid, they brought in Christian Boyd out of Northern Iowa.
Yeah.
Okay. They brought him into the building, Dave.
Yep.
The kid bench pressed about 9,000 times. He had like 40 reps or something, 30 something reps. Real strong kid. What do you think about him, you know, for that fourth, fifth round type range?
Great value. I think that's exactly where he's going to go. He's the guy that showed up to the East West Shrine Week. And every year, a couple guys make a lot of money there. They go from like undrafted, because that's where East West Shrine is more about day three draft picks, undrafted free agents. Senior Bowl is about first round, second round, third round, fourth round. And that guy played himself from a 7/PFA projection to round 5/6. And he was dominant. It's one thing to play well. It's one thing to just dominate one-on-ones left and right. That's going to get everyone's attention. Didn't measure very well. I think he measured in 31 inch arms or 31 plus. That's an issue for some teams. Some teams won't even look at you. They just play the odds game that there's very few defensive tackles that play with short arms like that and succeed at the next level. But you know, Tennessee didn't do that. You know, they made some really attractive meals with scraps from a dumpster on that defensive line. And I do think they're going to bring some of that to New York, in that you get a guy like this kid from Northern Iowa and really shine in the right situation.
Dave, one kid, I'm sorry, Joe, one last one on the defensive line before we leave the defensive line. One kid, man, that I saw numerous times, that was just throwing people aside like beanbags.
Yeah. Yep.
It's Devondre Sweat from Texas, man. I think I text you during the college season and said, Dave, this freaking kid is dominating the front.
Remember that.
I know Murphy's rated higher than him, his teammate. You know, I think he's rated probably one or two top kids coming out defensive line. But, man, the Sweat kid, Dave, you know, I know he's a big, big boy, man. But you watch him, I just saw a kid run stop. A kid pushes the pocket. Overpowering people, man.
Yeah.
What do you think about him?
I'll tell you what, I like him similar to where I like Jordan Davis out of Georgia, who went in the first round. I mean, Philly reached for him, but
high.
Well, the thing that made them difference, right? Jordan Davis was a little bit better of an athlete, and Devondre Sweat had some maturity concerns, work ethic issues early in his career. So that's why it was a little bit of a long ride for him to truly break out into what he is right now. And that's where the background check, the extra scouting, the deep dives that, you know, I don't get too into unless it comes my way. And I don't have anything on him other than the fact that there's just a few issues with him early in his career. Because a guy that big, man, you got to be pretty disciplined, because a guy like that can be 400 pounds tomorrow. You know, if you don't stay on top of like who you are outside the complex and your nutrition and how well you're working out. But when he tries hard, the guy he is, I remember watching the Senior Bowl one-on-ones. He didn't have to do anything other than just lean forward, and he was just pressing everyone 3, 4, 5 yards back to the pocket.
Yeah.
And I know it again. I talk about identity. I keep saying this. It would be fun to have him and Dex on the same line. You know, I mean, he's going to be like Jordan Davis in that he's probably only going to give you 20 snaps a game. So you have to kind of weigh that in terms of how high you want to pick someone like him. But you know, that combination could solve the run defense issues they had last year in just a snap of a finger. Now, let me ask you this: as drafting a guy like that, does that kind of, you know, push DJ Davidson or Jordan Riley or both of them out of the picture? Because I don't think you can have too many roster spots on this defense given to these big run plugs that just don't do that much else. You know, you have to, it's a numbers game, and the Giants might have a full room in that department.
So it leads into this question. It's a great one. Great timing here by Michael ABA. Would you take a three tech like Michael Hall to pair with Dex or more of a run stuffer?
Oh yeah. Michael Hall's fun, man. I mean, I have a thing for these guys that, you know, measure in a little small. I mean, 6'3", actually 290, 10 inch hands, 33 and a half inch arms. I mean, that is like an Aaron, I hate to say it, Aaron Donald type body. And he moves like him too. I mean, he is an elite athlete. I had that kid Adebare from Northwestern really highly graded last year, fourth round pick, one of the biggest surprises for me. I'm really looking forward to what he does in year two with Indianapolis. And Michael Hall, I should probably peg him in a similar tier of grade. Mm-hmm. I had a first round grade on Adebare last year, and I'll still say that proud. We'll see what happens this year. Michael Hall will probably be in that round three, round four area. And to answer the question, that's, if you ask me, what would be the number one asset to add to this defensive front that could really make something special and keep these guys in games and get this team on the right roll? It's a three tech. It is a guy that can get in there and just shoot up field, let Dexter take all the attention, let the guys burn the edges. If you get a really highly skilled and explosive pass rusher, which that's what Michael Hall is, you have something there. So that's a name that I would, Giants fans, you should circle and just kind of anticipate at some point. If he's there in day three, I would put money on that. He's at least one of the top three guys they're going to go after.
Interesting.
Yeah, Joe.
Listen, man, we can go over like every position with you, but you know, I know you have a life, but yeah. I want to ask you about a guy that Giants signed today that Chris put out earlier. And not to put you on the spot, I don't know if you know this guy. I mean, the running back they just signed, Turbo, Dante Miller. Do you know anything about him? Can you give us anything?
Not Columbia? Really.
To be honest, yeah, I was going to say Columbia to Columbia, South Carolina.
The only thing I have is what's pretty easily known, that he's a speed guy. To me, I think it's going to be more kick returner than running back.
Which is now a thing in the league.
Yeah, it's going to be a thing, absolutely. Right. And I think that's why they brought him in. You know, I do think Isaiah McKenzie is going to get inside track at that job. He's got to pass with Brian Daboll. To me, it's a training camp body. I want to get too excited about it. You know, you run a 4.27, you make a few plays in the SEC. It's something worth noting, but to say that I have a full blown scouting report on him, I don't. You know, I think it's just something. But I would lean just looking at the depth chart, looking at his history. I think it's going to have more to do with special teams than actual running back.
And the reason I asked is like when Shane makes these signings, I get more excited because of guys like Pinnock, right? Even Isaiah Hodgins, right? Like when Gettleman did it, it was like, all right, it's an extra body. So now that Shane does it, I'm like, I look at it a little more seriously because some guys have actually panned out. So,
and I do think this front office and coaching staff on that, they have cohesion with this. They want to be one of the fastest teams in the NFL.
Right.
They want speed. And you can't fault them for it. You know, there are questions I still had, that old schooler in me. Does that translate to December, January football, AKA Miami playing in Kansas City last year? But hey, you got to get there first before you adjust. So I'm all about adding speed to the defense. That's what I talked about with the wide receivers. That's what I want them to get more explosive. And this kid adds to that. And this front office has made a few moves, bringing back Isaiah Simmons today. Like they just want to be a fast athletic team. And you know, if you're going to miss with speed.
Real quick, LA says, this is wild. Just saw the news about Simmons. Remember, Dave had scouted him well and shared that here 4 years ago. I can't believe it was 4 years ago. And watch the clip. Now he's here live. So there you go, buddy.
Dave, do me a favor. When we ask you about a kid, try to know him, all right? You got to get into these kids a little more, all right?
I'll do that if you guys can help people pay me a full-time salary to do this full-time. Then I'll do that, brother.
I told you I'm working on it, brother. You tell me when you're good full-time. You're the one with the gym and the family.
I know. Dude, when you said that before, you're like, I do this part-time. I'm like, oh, you're a maniac. The fact that you said those words.
No.
Dave,
when I say part-time, I still probably put 30 to 40 hours a week in it. It's just not my primary job. But
Dave, what did I tell you on the phone? We were texting one night. I said, Dave, well, you got to let me know when you want to do it full-time.
Yeah.
Well,
yep.
I know you got the gym and the family and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
We'll talk. Yeah. We'll talk. I feel coming. We got our lads have some cool stuff coming down the pipe right now. Some new management there, new leadership. And, you know, they're a little bit more forward thinking. And, but we still, you know, we still have the core of what we do. It's all stake notes.
You guys grind. You guys grind. Let's do some things quick, Jerry. We'll let Dave go quickly. Yeah. Dave, tackles. Is there a talented kid in the second round? The Giants go receiver. Now they got to add some more. They want to add some more offensive.
Good question.
Can you get a second round talent tackle, Dave?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, you know, the more positions we talk about, like, hey, maybe this could be the day two pick. So, you know, Jerry, you asked early on, it's like, could this team trade down a little bit and maybe pick up some future assets or just more picks day two? Because again, the team is not good. The roster is not good. They need a lot of help in a lot of areas, and tackle is one of them. So I have a few day two grades. I don't know if they're all going to be there, but there's so many good tackles in the draft. You have to imagine one of them is going to drop. I like the kid. He's raw, but Sua Matia from BYU, he needs to fix some things, but his natural power, athletic ability, and when he makes clean contact, he moves guys. You know, one thing Philly does when they scout offensive linemen, they have the best offensive line coach in the game.
Don't remind us.
The one word that I write on my reports all the time, I have it written on a whiteboard when I scout offensive line to remind myself, do they displace defenders? Meaning just watch the defender's feet of the guy they're blocking. Are they moving him in the wrong, like in the right direction from the offensive perspective? This guy does it better than I think all of these guys. Mm. And I could even see him being a guard at the next level. What I want the Giants to do on offensive line is this, that get a guy that can play guard and tackle. And there's multiple in this class. You know, for a while I had this fantasy that Troy Faletanu from Washington was going to be there at the top of round two. I think he's going top 15. So I think that's out. Graham Barton from Duke is a guy I like a lot. Roger Rosengarten from Washington. And I have other tackles that are graded above them, but I do think they bring inside out versatility because I do want Evan Neal to get another year. I want them to give him a shot. You know, I don't think it's going to work out. I'll go on record saying that, but if it does work out.
Awesome.
Yeah. But if it does work out, now you have this player that can play guard, you know, you have a hedge. And if it doesn't work out, you have a guy that does have a tackle skill set. So that's like what I'm looking at on day two. There's a lot of these guys that I think could be there that project to both inside and outside. Jordan Morgan from Arizona.
So after free agency, do you see a bigger need for the Giants at guard or tackle post free agency?
I would say guard.
Still, say guard. Even though you don't think Evan Neal's going to work out, guard is a bigger need.
Yeah, because I mean,
I agree. Because you got Jermaine, you could throw Jermaine at right tackle.
Yeah,
no, that's Jermaine. Fine. I'm just curious. Yeah,
that was my favorite signing of the offseason, by the way. I mean, Brian Burns to me was more of a trade, right? But I know they signed him. But I love the fact that he gives them is exactly what they needed last year. A guy like instead of putting Josh Desidu at tackle, you know, they have a guy like that can just at least pass as a halfway decent guy. But you know, I still have some hope in Josh Desidu. You know, hopefully that his confidence wasn't ruined too badly, that he can at least compete for a starting left guard job. Aaron Stinney from Tampa Bay. I mean, you know, he's not going to give you much more than what Glowinski gave you last year. So don't get too excited. So right now, to me, they have a hole at starting guard. They do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Dave, if Evan plays somewhat, you know, Evan's going to be starting the right tackle in camp. You know, we'll see. Yeah. And then again, beginning is, you know, preseason and beginning of season.
He should.
Like I've said numerous times, he should get that look, but it'll be a short leash. So if he could hold his own, you know, you do have Runyon Jr. and then you have Jermaine.
Yeah.
Probably a right guard. So
that's the best case scenario.
That's the best case scenario right there. When now, if Evan falters, then they have to decide about what they want to do, because Jermaine will be out right tackle. Then you have to decide about.
I said this last year. I thought Evan Neal was one of the most important players on that football team.
Oh yeah.
In terms of him either taking the step up or him taking a step backwards. Yeah. That swung the needle big time. It really did.
And it's amazing that they had one of the best left tackles in the league too, right, on the other side, right?
No, it just, when he went down, I mean, wasn't it amazing to see how valuable he was when he went down?
Oh, he's the MVP.
Everything changed. They could not compete.
That's the definition of a most valuable player. When you lose, when you lose him, the team is lost. Yeah, he was absolutely. Yep. Real quick, I just want to give you props, Dave. Dan Mann says if you did this full time, you'd have your own network. So
network, competitive market out there, guys.
I don't know, man.
I'm thankful to do what I do, though, guys. I really am. No crying over here. I have a blast doing it. I love to get. No, at least I can justify to my wife the amount of time I get some money for it. So it's
Dave. I hope you do have Joe Walt as your number one tackle.
I bet you.
What are you breathing about?
Penn State. Penn State. Say it. Say it, Dave.
Could you be the connection's breaking up?
There it is.
Deep breath about.
I have Fashanu a notch above him, but you know, and I
Fashanu again, number one, huh? You have Fashanu number one, or you have all three or four? What do you have?
I know I have all number two. I mean, those guys are 1A, 1B. I hate saying that. It sounds like such a cop out. But hey, if you ask
me, that's the way you grade these kids.
You put a gun to my head. I think they're both really good players. And I've talked to Dane Brugler from The Athletic about this, you know, and I know I'm not alone in saying this. It doesn't look the way I always want it to look with Joe Alt. You know, just like a little hingy from the waist. But the thing is, he doesn't lose, you know, he like Joe Walt, he just doesn't lose on tape. And that means something to me, but there is such a thing as guys that are just too tall to always play with proper leverage, and him being just under 6'9", he might still grow too. I think he's going to be 21 until November. He might just
under 6'9". What a monster, man.
He might be above 6'9" when he's done growing. Yeah. You know, he might get that extra half inch. We'll see. And I did a little comparison between the two. I mean, Fashanu did have a disappointing year. I was ready to put him in the elite 90-plus tier at the beginning of the season, but you got to be controlling your initial bias, and I did. I didn't put him up there because, you know, the Ohio State, he just got crushed. He had a little knee issue that game, so I think that was part of the problem. But Tuamalo, the DN from Ohio State who went back to school, number 44, we'll be talking about him next year. He ate him up, and that's the kind of defender that might be an issue for Fashanu are these guys that play with power in that. In the NFL, you see that every Sunday. So, you know, I think upside, Fashanu has a little bit more, but immediate contribution, Joe Alt will probably be better right away.
Am I wrong to say that kid Fawaga, I love that kid, Dave. How do you have him?
So I have him. So this is going to sound like I don't like him, but I just love all the tackles in this grab. I have him as my sixth tackle.
Okay.
But I still have a first-round grade on him. It's amazing how many good tackles are in this draft.
Amazing.
My report I wrote on him, it says, I think he could be a solid starting right tackle in the league or an all-pro guard. The issues I have with him that did show up at the Senior Bowl are just against, like, the pure speed edge threat. You know, sometimes he just gets beat to the spot, and then he loses some of his knee bend. Bends over from the waist, overextends, and you know I saw it happen multiple times in Oregon. At the Senior Bowl. But I do think I'm in the minority there. Everyone that I talk to loves him, but you know I have a first round grade on him, but I think he's more of someone that you would draft in the late 20s than somewhere in the high, you know, in the low teens or even top 10.
You've been on an hour and a half. You've been very, very
loose, man. He's got
generous with your time, but I'm going to ask you one more question.
Let's do it, baby.
Who were the Giants taking in round one? What are they moving up, and who are they getting?
pressure.
Oh, dude, I think I got one right over the last 5 years, and it was Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones because I just knew what it was happening. But other than that, I'm trying to think.
Who did I say last year with you guys?
I don't know if you said Banks, but you said watch the corners. I remember you saying watch the corners.
Yeah, you know what? I think I was torn between.
Zay. Oh, you nailed Kadarius Toney with us. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I think I might have said Zay Flowers last year, but I do think they wanted him.
That's right. Yes, but
they wanted him.
For the record,
BC too. BC. Yeah.
They wanted him.
I this is tough because it's so much based on. I think they're going to go for one of the quarterbacks, and I think they're going to make an aggressive move up for Drake May, and I think they'll have a secondary move up for J.J. McCarthy. I do think they want one of these guys.
So is it to three or four?
Four. I think they're going to let something happen at three, whether it's Minnesota moving up or Or New England. This is possible, guys. New England might pass on court. They might stay at three and take Marvin Harrison.
Dave, I have the same scenario playing out. I feel better about mine, so yours probably won't come true now. But I have the same scenario playing out with the Vikings moving up to three and taking McCarthy, and the Giants getting their guy, Drake May, who I think their guys. Again, I don't know, but the similarities with Josh Allen and all that. So I mean, I feel better about my, I feel better about mine now that you said that. But it just means you're wrong. So
if Minnesota trades up with New England to number three, that's going to pave a pretty smooth path for the Giants to get a quarterback at sixth without having to move up.
Good point.
You probably have to make a couple phone calls and be like, hey, if anyone calls and tries to trade up, let me know.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Because, you know, unless New England pulls what Arizona did last year, they trade back to 11 and have 23 in their arsenal, and then they make another move up. But that's, you know, that gets tough to do. So that would be, to me, that'd be a best case scenario, that the Patriots trade out to Minnesota. So Minnesota gets whoever they want, which I hope they would want Drake May, so the Giants could take JJ McCarthy at six and still have the rest of their draft future one intact.
Man, it sounds like the best scenario. You that could what? Be the best scenario.
I mean, but you still got to watch your Chargers at five. Trading out of there with a Denver or Vegas. You still got to watch just, them.
Here's the thing about Denver and Vegas, New Orleans too. They had to move up from 12, 13, 15, whatever those guys are picking at.
12 and 13.
That's an aggressive trade up. Like you're gonna
they have to give up more, no question.
A lot. And I don't think Denver has much. Like, I just don't think they can do it. So it really comes down to Las Vegas, who, you know, they're in year one of a regime. You normally usually don't want to do that. You know, sell all these future assets for the fourth quarterback taken in the draft. So, you know, I think the stress comes when New England takes a quarterback at three. That's when we're going to be biting our nails. And, you know, this is why the NFL rules cable television now. Absolutely. You know, it's going to make for a really dramatic night. And, you know, for people that don't have a rooting interest, you know, it'll just be fun to watch. But if you're the Giants going in saying, we really want to get this quarterback, and I know a lot of Giants fans are pretty passionate about wanting to move on from Daniel Jones. Yeah. But remember this, the consolation prize is probably the best rookie wide receiver the Giants have had since Odell Beckham.
I agree, Dave.
Let's not be too upset about that.
Yeah. I agree. I think me personally, Dave, I think Denver and Vegas sits back 12 and 13, and I think I'm going to stick with Denver taking Knicks. I'm going to go Vegas taking Michael Penix.
Okay.
That's going to be my prediction right now.
I love it.
We'll see, buddy.
Michael Sloan, is it really a full year since Dave is gone? And it won't be again because, dude, you're coming on after the draft, Dave. Put the kid to bed early, make plans, dude, because you got to come back. So I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
Well, maybe if the Giants draft Brock Bowers, I'll have my son and we'll talk. Well, he can join us and talk about Brock Bowers with us.
Yeah, there you go. Put him on. Dave, thank you, my man. I know you gave us a lot of time, brother. We really appreciate it, man. We love having you on. Like Jerry says, I think we could do this for freaking 3 hours, you know, just talking about this draft.
Yep.
Because of all the insight you have on the kids. So, Dave, thank you again, my man. Like Jerry says, we'll have you on. Hope to have you on after the draft. Feel better.
I'll get there.
We'll break down with the Giants draft picks and all that. And I'll see you at the camp anyway, but hopefully we'll have you on in a few weeks, buddy, in May. You know, we'll talk about that.
Dave, tell everyone where they can find you, because if you haven't found him, I'm glad you're on YouTube finally.
Yep.
Like, and I say that as people who should have been on it a while ago, but like you're more present now. So tell everyone where you can find you, dude.
Yeah. Our Lads Scouting, we started a YouTube channel in January, and we got some good talent working for us. Good film editor, Ryan McKee, an award-winning film editor, new CEO in town. Dan Shonka is still very much involved. John Cooper, the assistant general manager, they're still very much involved. We just have a different direction in what we're doing. But the Our Lads Draft Guide, it's the oldest one in the business. And you can go to ourlads.com. We actually sent it everything. Thank God this year is on time. We have a new printer. Last year we had a little bit of issue getting it out on time, but I believe they're being sent out on Monday. And this year we actually are selling a cheaper PDF version. I'm an old school guy. Like I like the book flipping through pages.
Yeah.
I am one of those guys.
Do you sell that, Dave? Do you sell that?
Yep. Yep. The book is.
And since I'm your favorite Giants beat guy, you're going to send them my way?
I think so. Yeah. I'm waiting for my money for my Notre Dame call out on Cam Hart.
Take a look. It's there.
Yeah. So we sell those on ourlads.com. And if you do want the PDF, we'll send that. That's cheaper as well. We'll send that to you next week as well, and you'll have it. I think it's a great resource to have during the draft because it's just a lot of information, and there's not a lot of just fluff in there. It's just good information. And it's also great to read down the road. When Giants sign someone 2-3 years from now, it's great to say, hey, what was this guy's deal coming out?
Right.
It's a great resource. We put a lot of work into it. And Dave, that's it.
Dave, who's the dude that updates the rosters like immediately? Who the hell takes credit for that?
He's our draft chart expert. You know, that's depth chart expert. It's Tucker Moss.
Well, tell Tucker Moss for me, he is freaking great. I'll tell you why, Dave. You know, when Buffalo traded Diggs yesterday or 2 days ago, I'm like, holy shit, this Houston roster is loaded. You know, I want to look at this roster. So I go on, I hit it up. There he is in the receiver spot already. Diggs already upgraded on the Houston roster. Because I'm a total buffoon. I'm always looking at these rosters.
Yeah.
You know, and I see it. There it is. Diggs on the roster spot. I'm like, who the hell is freaking doing this so fast? So do me a favor. Tell Tucker he does a great freaking job, Dave, for me.
I will. I look at
those rosters constantly. Yeah. You know,
that's something that we take a lot of pride in.
You should.
We have the best depth charts in the business, and we're trying to even build off that a little bit because it just gets so much traffic. We want to actually create a little bit more content off the depth charts with scouting reports and just information on guys. Like anytime Giants sign a random guy like they did today, can you get a little write-up on them, you know, instead of just having to search 10 different websites? So we have a lot of things coming down the tube from the depth charts because that it's a tremendous amount of traffic that goes there. So many people use it, and it's because it's reliable and it's on time. And Tucker does an awesome job with that.
Because, you know, Dave, and you got a buffoon like me, I'll be sitting there saying, well, thinking about the draft, who the hell's playing right guard for the Colts again? I'm one of those idiots.
Yep.
And I hit up your roster immediately.
Yep.
Dude, I mean, if the guy was signed yesterday, boom, there he is, right there on a depth chart. You know, I'm like, it's so impressive, Dave, because like I said, that Diggs trade was made.
Yep.
I think I hit it up that night.
Yeah.
I wanted to see Houston's rundown on their receivers again. And there it was. Diggs right there on the Houston roster. So tell that dude, Tuck, he does a freaking great job, bro.
I will.
So this dude says, what's your Twitter handle? I think I got it right, Our Lads_Si.
At our Lads _Si. Yep, that's it.
There you go, guys. All right. Dave, thanks, man.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, guys.
Ridiculous job. Awesome.
Thank you.
All right, buddy.
All right, we'll talk soon.
See you, man.
Bye, Dave. Take care, brother. So there it is. Dave Syverson giving his input on this draft, Jerry. And he does a great job knowing all these kids, and we'll see how this works. He gives all different kind of scenarios, right? What the hell could happen? Who could be drafted? Who could this? Who they might be looking at? All that stuff. Who might fit their system and all that crap. So, it's a freaking great job, you know? So,
dude, almost an hour and 40 minutes.
I think people are going to be the pleasure of sitting and say, you know what, these guys are only on an hour. I mean, they're on an hour every week, but you know what? This is an important time of year, and they got guys that are really into these kids, and everybody's fascinated about who the Giants might draft. So they're going to sit and they go, we don't give a shit about this. Listening to a podcast for an hour and a half because this is important shit, you know? So.
Yep. Real quick, Chris, I just want to give a shout out to somebody who's always on our live stream, always contacts us.
Who the hell's
John, John at Great News.
John at Great News. Never heard of him.
Yeah, he's always on. Well, he lost his mom a couple weeks ago or last week. It was unexpected. Yeah. And I just want to shout out because I think he's on every live stream I do on Sundays, Chris. He's always commenting. He seems to be a fan of the podcast. So listen, John, if this takes your mind off things, God bless you, man. And I just praying for you. That's all. Yep. I just wanted to give a shout out.
John, you have great followers. Sorry for your loss, brother. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Sorry for your loss, man. Hang in there. Hopefully, like Jerry just said, hopefully this takes your mind off some things for a little bit, you know. So
yep. All right, dude. We'll come back next week. We'll try again. We're gonna try to have some guests on. And we're having Cy on after the draft too. We gotta have him back because I want to see about, you know, I love his grades on what the Giants do and what his analysis is and thoughts. So it's a fun time of year right now, other than the second guessing on X or Twitter, but it's a good time of year. So.
Yeah, Jerry, especially when you get to the later rounds, right? When they draft the kid, like, who the hell's that? You know what I mean? Okay, let me see what they got. And no, Dave is going to know the kid. You know what I mean? He's going to be like, that kid. You know, that kid. Oh, yeah. He grew up in so-and-so, and he made 43 tackles, and he does this angle well. You know, all that stuff, you know? So it's great. Yep. Great stuff.
Anything else?
No, that's it. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I'm glad. Hopefully everybody hangs in there an hour and a half. I'm sure you will, because it's important stuff. And we'll see you next week. We'll talk next week.
All right, guys. Sundays are giant days. Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.